Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Okay, where do we stop? I think we finished 60. And then there's Sarasambhadani on 60, which you didn't look at yet.
If it's Gorma, ask him to call back in an hour.
There's nothing on 60. That's 61. Okay. 61 has an Sarvasambhadani excerpt. Looking at, if I'm not wrong, at the beginning of 61. Asya Sri Bhagavatasya Maha Purana Tva Vyanjaka Lakshanam Prakarantarena Chavadan Api Tasyaiv Ashraya Tvam Aha Dvayena. By describing in another way the defining characteristics by which Srimad Bhagavatam is implied to be the greatest of Puranas. The following two verses also indicate that the Supersoul alone is the Ashraya. Okay, just want to point out something in the Sanskrit that makes it a little difficult to translate the Sandarbhas. You see, api tasya aiva ashraya tvam. You have a lot of free use of pronouns in Jiva Goswami's prose. So what is tasya supposed to refer to? We were just mentioning the Bhagavatam and it's how it's a Mahapurana in the first part of the sentence. But that can't be the antecedent because we're saying that the being the ashraya on the part of it, so him, it's not the Bhagavatam that's the ashraya. It's what is the ashraya? Well, we don't say Krishna. What did Jiva Goswami say? We're referring to the 11th canto, the Supersoul is. Okay, so that has to be the antecedent. You got to really sort things out carefully to get the pronouns right. Also indicate that the Supersoul alone is the Ashraya. And here are the two verses. This is from the 12th canto, spoken by Sutta Goswami, 7th chapter. Sargosyata visargascha Vritti rakshantarani cha vamsho vamshanu charitam samsta heturd apashraya dashabir lakshanayar yuktam puranam tadvido viduhu kechit panchavidam brahman maharalpa vyavastaya. Antanani Manvantarani. O Brahmana, authorities on the matter understand a Purana to contain 10 characteristic topics. The creation of this universe, the subsequent creation of worlds and beings, the maintenance of all living beings, their sustenance, the, quote, periods, the dynasties of great kings, the activities of such kings, annihilation, motivation, and the supreme shelter. Other scholars state that the great Puranas deal with these 10 topics, whereas lesser Puranas may deal with 5. Here, P periods, Antarani means reigns of Manu, Manvantaras. I remember reading this already. Anyway, commentary. Just on this first part of the Anuchet. In the current era, the authentic Puranas, especially the most important among them, are primary sources for understanding the meaning of the ancient Vedas. And so the greatest of the Puranas, the Srimad Bhagavat Maha Purana, commands authority on its topics, of which the ultimate is the supreme shelter. Throughout the Bhagavatam, the Apashraya is identified as Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this list is slightly different than Shukadeva Goswami's list. Not really. Some of the names are different. We have Stana and Poshana in Jiva Goswami's list. Stana, regular maintenance, and Poshana, special maintenance of the devotees. And then we have Vritti and Raksha. They can correspond with those two. Vritti, general maintenance, and Raksha, special protection. Manvantara is on the list of Shukadeva Goswami. Manvantaras Sheshanukata, yes. So Manvantara is just abbreviated to Antara here in Sutta Goswami's list. We don't have a specific mention of the Lord's narrations about the Lord, Ishanukata. But the definition that Shukadeva Goswami himself gives for Ishanukata is narrations about the activities of the Lord and of his great devotees. So when we have Vamshanucharita, that can correspond roughly with Ishanukata. It doesn't leave the Supreme Lord out because he also appears in these dynasties. His avatars appear in the dynasties, so if we're going to discuss the activities of members of the dynasties, it will include. It won't ignore the activities of the avatars of Vishnu. Except for those avatars that don't come in any vamsha. Some avatars aren't born, they just pop out of nowhere. Come riding in on the back of Garuda and don't have a mother and father. But that can be accounted for. The topic is called Vamshanucharita. But then there's another topic, Vamsha, just the genealogy. That's not mentioned on Shukadeva's list. Of course, it's there in the Bhagavatam, but is it one of the 10 defining characteristics of a major Purana? I think Vamsha, yeah, Vamsha is one of the five. When you have a shorter list, a standard list of just five characteristics. Purana Panchalakshanam. The basic definition of a Purana is that it has to have at least these five characteristics that we'll be reading next. And Vamsha is on that list. It's just very typical for Purana to include genealogy of kings. What kind of Purana would you have that doesn't have any? They all do. So even though Shukadeva Goswami didn't mention genealogy, it's obviously there in the Purana and in the Bhagavatam and any other Purana has genealogy of kings. Then samsta hetur and upashrayaha. Hetur, I have to look what hetur is defined at. I guess that corresponds with uti. Uti is the impetuses for material activities. And what is hetu defined as? I guess we have to look further down to see, but it probably corresponds with uti. And samsta is annihilation. We're missing, on this list, we're missing liberation. Mukti. But mukti is defined in the 12th canto as a special kind of annihilation. There are four kinds of annihilation. The partial annihilation at the end of Brahma's day, the complete annihilation of the universe at the end of Brahma's life, liberation of an individual soul is the annihilation of his subtle body and his material existence, and there is constant annihilation. You leave piece of fruit on the table for a few days, it gets rotten by the force of constant annihilation. So those are the four kinds of annihilation, and mukti can be included as one of them. Okay, and then, but other scholars state that the great Puranas deal with these 10 topics, whereas lesser Puranas may deal with 5. There's a short commentary here. In the current era, the authentic Puranas, I read that, didn't I? Okay, I'm sorry. We'll go on to 61.2. Panchavidam. Sargascha patisargascha vamsho manvantarani cha vamshanu charitam cheti puranam panchalakshanam. This is famous verse from the Matsya Purana 53rd chapter. If you're studying up on your Matsya Purana, you'll find it in chapter 53. Iti kechid vedanti sacha matabedo Mahadalpa Vyavastaya Mahapuranam Alpapuranam iti bin adi karanatvena. What does adikaranatvam mean? What does adikaranatvam mean? No, adikarana is not instrument, that's karana. Location. Being the location, or what the Navanyaya logicians call it in English, they call it the substratum. Okay. Yadyapi Vishnu Purana Davapi Dashapi Tani Lakshyante Tatapi Panchanam Eva Pradanyen Uktatvat Alpatvam. Some authorities give the fivefold definition this way. The five defining characteristics of a Purana are creation, annihilation, the history of dynasties, the reigns of Manu, and the activities of members of the dynasties. Well, it looks like all five of these are included within the 10. It's a shorter list. Without these, a book is not a Purana. It's something else, just some sort of history. Itihasa, maybe, but not Purana. This difference of opinion derives from the distinction between a Mahapurana and a lesser Purana. It's not an opposing definition. It's just defining the lesser kind of Purana. The former being more important than the latter. Thus, in different contexts, it is fitting to define a Purana differently. Although the Vishnu Purana and some other Puranas also include all 10 topics, these Puranas are lesser because they give prominence only to the 5 basic topics. That's Jiva Goswami's opinion. That there's only one real Mahapurana. Guess which one? Okay. Then more. Atra Dashanam Artanam Skandeshu Yatakramam Pravesho Navivakshitas Tesham Dwadasha Sankyatwat Dvitiya Skandoktanam Tesham Tihadishu Yatas Sankyam Nasama Veshaha Nirodhana Adinam Dashamadishu Ashtamavarjam Anyesham Apyanyeshu Yatokta Lakshanataya Samavesh Anashakyatvad Eva. The Bhagavatam, in its 12 cantos, does not intend to set forth the 10 topics separately, canto by canto. Nor should we suppose that these topics mentioned in the second canto are included in sequence in the cantos beginning with the third. Apart from the last few topics, starting with annihilation in the 10th canto and later, and a topic concerning the remains of Manu in the 8th, the topics defined cannot be assigned to certain cantos. Okay, Jiva Goswami's opinion on that. Even if you say, well, there's 10 topics, let's not count the first two cantos, they're introductory, and the list of topics is only given at the end of the second canto anyway, even then, it doesn't work out. You can't see that there's only one topic or one even most prominent topic in each canto. They're mixed up, with some exceptions. Manu Manvantaras are especially discussed in the 8th canto, but that's an exception. Taruktam Sri Swami Bir Eva Dashame Krishna Satkirti Vitanayopavarnyate Dharma Glani Nimittastu Nirodho Dushtabhu Bhujam Prakritadi Chaturdayo Nirodat Satuvarnitaha. Sridhar Swami makes the same point, and that six lines verse that I just read is Sridhar Swami's composition in his commentary. He wrote this. To increase the transcendental fame of Lord Krishna, the 10th canto describes how the wicked rulers of earth were put to an end, brought on by the general decline of religious principles. Previous cantos describe four kinds of annihilation, the destruction of the material elements, and so on. Okay, so Sri Swami is giving the opinion that the 10th canto deals with annihilation of all those demons that Krishna killed. Okay. Thus, Sri Swami says that the 10th canto mainly talks about the ashraya in the form of Sri Krishna. In Sridhar Swami's own words, I didn't read the Sanskrit yet. Atotra skande Sri Krishna rupasya asyaiva varnana pradanyam tair vivakshitam uktam jaswayamiva. Because it's not Sridhar Swami saying that Nirodha or annihilation is the main topic of the 10th canto. He's not saying that. He goes on and says, dashame dashamam lakshyam. Ashrita Ashraya Vigraham. Yeah, okay. Iti Evam Anyatrap Unneyam. In Sridhar Swami's own words, the 10th canto explains the 10th topic, the personal embodiment of the Ashraya principle. Who protects those who take shelter of him? This conclusion we should also apply in other contexts. Atak prayashaha sarveer ta sarveshreva skandeshu gaunatvena va mukhyatvena va nirupyanta ityeva tesham abhivyatmatam shrutenartena chanjasa ityatra tataiva pratipannam sarvatra tatsat sambhavat. Tatascha pratamadutiya yor api mahapuranatayam praveshak syat tasmat pramo nagrihitaha. Sridhar Swami's opinion, therefore, is that for the most part, every canto tells of each topic as either a minor or a major theme. He establishes this by saying, the great sages explain the topics both by direct statement and by implication. Did we come across those words before? Okay. So where you find discussion of the topics is not only in explicit descriptions, but also you have to identify them where they're implied as purport of the narration. Then you can find topics all over the place. Because in all the cantos, both direct and indirect descriptions can be found. This means that the first and second cantos also contribute to the Bhagavatam's being a Mahapurana. Therefore, we do not accept that the topics appear in a strict sequential order. Commentary. Defining in the 12th canto the 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Sutta spoke not only about the Bhagavatam, but also about the Puranas in general. It is not contradictory, therefore, that his terminology differs somewhat from that used in Sri Shukadeva's second canto list, and that he doesn't divide the 10 topics exactly the same way. Srila Jiva Goswami, however, going beyond the general discussion of what a Purana should contain, discerns further signs of the Bhagavat's excellence. There are 18 major Puranas and at least 18 minor Puranas. And from various scriptural authorities, it is understood that in addition to the 5 minimum Purana topics, a Mahapurana includes 5 more. But even the other works recognized as Mahapuranas do not discuss all 10 topics as thoroughly as Srimad Bhagavatam. Every Purana describes the avatars of the personality of Godhead to some extent, but many Puranas talk about only one or a few, or perhaps about several, but only briefly, avatars. In contrast, Srimad Bhagavatam dedicates at least one chapter each to the glories of more than 30 avatars of the Supreme Lord, and dedicates the entire 90 chapters of the 10th canto, plus several chapters of the 1st and 11th cantos, to the pastimes of Sri Krishna. In contrast, the Krishna Lila in the 5th division of the Vishnu Purana fills only 38 chapters. Srila Jiva thus concludes that Srimad Bhagavatam alone fully deserves the title Mahapurana. To exclude the first two cantos from the proper text of the Bhagavatam, in order to have 10 cantos left to match the 10 topics, is wrong. To do so is to deny the authoritative account in other Puranas that Srimad Bhagavatam has 18,000 verses and over 300 chapters in 12 cantos, not 10 cantos. And other Puranas assert that the Bhagavatam they speak of is the one spoken by Shukadeva, not the Devi Bhagavat or some other one. This does not mean, however, that the parts of the Bhagavatam not spoken by Shukadeva, the first two cantos and the last half of the 12th, should be excluded. Earlier in this Tattva Sandarbha, Srila Jiva has given his opinion that Shukadeva studied from his father Vyasadeva the eternal, unchanging Bhagavatam of 18,000 shlokas and spoke to Parikshit the same shlokas, word for word, including even what Sutta would speak in the future to the sages at Naimisharanya. In Srimad Bhagavatam 12, 7, verses 9 and 10, quoted in Anuchet 61.1, Sutta Goswami defines the 10 characteristics of a Mahapurana. In the Sarasamvadani, Sri Jiva adds these notes on Sutta's definitions. Well, okay, let's go right to the Sarvasambhadani in file 14 and see what's said there. Actually, it's exactly the same, except for there's a commentary added. I'm just checking to see if the editing came out the same in both places. Yeah, it looks the same. Okay, so I'm in file 14 now. But I think you'll read exactly the same thing in file 11. Sargosya Ityadi. Okay, commentary on those two verses. Atat prayashaha sarveyar ta iti. Tatra mukya tvena sarga dvitiya titriya yo. Visarga dvitiya tritiya chaturt adishu. Kama dvitihi. You understand why some of these words are in italics? From what? Yeah, they're actually words in the verse. that's being explained. Dvitiya tritiya chaturth adishu kama dvitihi jagrihu yaksha rakshami ratrim chutrit samudbhavam ityadi vakyatas tritiyapi chodanaya vrittistu saptama aikada shayur varnashrama acharya katane. Isn't chodanaya in the verse also? No, not here. Okay. Varnashrama chara katane raksha sarvatraiva manvantanam ashtamadishu vamsho vamshanacharitam chaturta navamadishu samsta ekadasha dvadashayo hetu Shri Kapila Deva Adi Vakyataha Triti Aikadashadi Shu Apashraya Dashamadi Shu Gaya. Okay, these are the two verses spoken by Shuta Goswami in the 12th canto, right? I don't think, it doesn't say Manvantara, it just says Antaram, right? The word Antaram is there, but not Manvantara, correct? Manvantara? No, it's not Manvantara, it's Antara. I'm talking about in the original verses that are being described. Let me go back here. No. Oh. Sargas cha prati sargas cha vamsho manvantara anicha. Okay, the five... No, it's not that verse. Sargasyata visargas cha viti rakshantara anicha. So it's antarani, not manvantaram, right? I mean, I'm sorry. In here, in the Sarvasam Vadani, we're giving a gloss on the two verses, Sargosya, in which we don't have the phrase Manvantarani, Manvantaram. We have instead the phrase Antarani. And actually, in file 14, it's not in italics, but in file 11, I have it in italics. There is a difference here. It's in the Sarasamvadani, like four sentences from the end. Manvantaram ashtamadishu, right? If you're looking in file 11, I have it in italics, but in file 14, I don't. It looks like I corrected it in one place, not the other, so I'm fixing it now. It's not actually in the verse, so it shouldn't be in italics. What's in the verse is the word antarani. It's equivalent, but it's not a direct quote. Yes, I do. I'm sorry, what don't I have? What file are you looking at, 11 or 14? I got it, it must have been fixed. Okay? Yeah. All right. Short commentary on the Sarvasamvadani. Did I read the translation? No. Okay. Translation of the Sarvasamvadani. Okay. Can someone follow along? Well, you don't have the latest file. Anyway, follow along in file. Who has file 11 in front of him? Okay. See if there's any difference. I'm reading from file 14. Let's see if both translations are the same. In the discussion that begins by citing the verse Sargosya, there is a statement beginning, quote, therefore, ... for the most part, comma, each topic, ... The following are major topics in particular cantos. Primary creation is a major topic in the second and third cantos. Secondary creation is a major topic in the second, third, and fourth cantos. Occupation motivated by personal desire is also discussed in the third canto, as we see in such statements as, Yakshas and Rakshasas sprang for the possession of the body, which continued to exist in the form of night. Night is the source of hunger and thirst. In contrast, occupation in compliance with Vedic injunction is dealt with when proper behavior for the varnas and ashramas is discussed in the 7th and 11th cantos. Protection is described throughout. The reigns of Manu are described in the 8th canto and elsewhere. Dynasty, which means the activities of dynasties, is described in the 4th, 9th, and other cantos. Dissolution is described in the 11th and 12th. Motivation, as set forth in the words of Sri Kapiladev and others, is described in the 3rd, 11th, and other cantos. And we can understand that the supreme shelter is described in the 10th canto and elsewhere. Okay, so there is, you can find prominence of particular topics within particular cantos, but it's not in order. And it's not that the whole canto is primarily about it. Just you see some place in that canto, there's some prominence of some topic. And it's all over the place. It's nothing in systematic sequential order. All right. There's a commentary on the Sarasamvadini that I put in here. The topics are not strictly assigned one to each canto. Rather, we see the focus shifting from topic to topic in multiple cantos, with some brief discussion of almost all the topics in every canto. This understanding defeats the argument that the first two cantos are not part of the original Bhagavatam. An argument put forth on the supposed grounds that the 10 topics have to match with 10 cantos, no more, no less. Okay. That is text 61. Let's see what we can say about it. If you have any questions, please post them, scribble them down, or send them to me by email. And we'll discuss tomorrow. If you have 100 questions, we'll spend the whole day, 3 days if we have to. We'll spend as much time as necessary. But we won't deal with them today, tomorrow morning. Anyway, this is Jiva Goswami considered it somewhat controversial. There must have been devotees or non-devotees at that time who were insisting on an assignment of one topic for one canto. And some who were even taking that as a reason to exclude the first two cantos from the core text of the Bhagavatam. They're sort of hung up, they're stuck on the idea that Shukadev didn't speak the first canto. Well, he did speak the second canto. And Shukadev heard the whole Bhagavatam, but according to Jiva Goswami's explanation earlier, he heard, including everything that didn't happen yet, when he heard it. Vyasadeva was reporting, giving him the eternal text of the Bhagavatam, which, according to the nature of a Shruti, doesn't change. And the history, the historical events that it may talk about have to happen following the script, not the other way around. Prabhupada did take the poetic liberty of giving different titles to each canto, apparently labeling them with separate topics. I think he was familiar with Jiva Goswami's opinion. I don't think he taught us that Bhagavatam, I don't know, maybe he does say in lectures, Bhagavatam has a separate topic for each canto. Okay, is it going to get us in trouble? Let's read it. Oh, okay, you can dig it up, yeah. Anyway, I mean, he's just giving a title for each canto and putting pictures on the cover, just, you know, some poetic device to make it interesting. But what does Prabhupada say? Yes. 911?
Yeah.
Okay. This chapter describes how Sujumna became a woman?
Well, okay,
It's not there.
Okay,
811. Hold on, I can find it. Okay. It's not there either. Okay, maybe you can, we can discuss it tomorrow. Okay? Remind me about it? Okay. Anyway, we can stop a little early here. You got it. Okay, where is it? That's the first canto that Prabhupada writes summaries for. Okay. Let me read it. Let me find it.
It's the first paragraph.
611. Sixth canto, chapter one, the history of the life of Ajamil. Throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, there are descriptions of 10 subject matters, including creation, subsequent creation, and the planetary systems. Sukadeva Goswami, the speaker of Bhagavatam, has already described creation, subsequent creation, and the planetary systems in the third, fourth, and fifth cantos. Now in the sixth canto, which consists of 19 chapters, he will describe poshana, or protection, by the Lord. Let me just quickly see what Sridhar Swami says there, whether Prabhupada is taking this from Sridhar Swami. Sridhar Swami 611. Visarga sambhavan jivan swamarya dasu samstitan Vishnu patyaki like rupair ityevam panchame stitam. In the fifth canto, it's established that Vishnu, in all his different forms, protects the jivas who are born in the Visarga and who get situated each in their regulated duties. Okay, so he's saying that's what's established in the fifth canto. Adyai kona vimshatya shashte poshanam uchyate. In the sixth canto, poshanam is described in 19 chapters. That's Sridhar Swami's statement. Prabhupada's just repeating that. Now, does Jiva Goswami give an opposite opinion here? Jiva Goswami, well, in the Sarvasamvadini, was just telling us where there's some assignments. He doesn't. Does he mention that poshanam is described in the sixth canto? Yeah. Well, poshanam, the word is not there in Sukadeva Goswami's list anyway. But that corresponds to raksha. Jiva Goswami in Sarvasamvadini says raksha sarvatraiva. It's every place. Okay, it's in the sixth canto, but it's also elsewhere. The protection, special protection to devotees. Yeah, seventh canto also. So when Sridhar Swami says that in the sixth canto, poshanam is described, it doesn't mean it's not described elsewhere. In fact, it is described a lot of other places, probably in all the cantos. So there's no contradiction there. And probably it's just repeating Sridhar Swami. Okay? No. Those are discussed, but it doesn't mean that's the only places where they're discussed. Yeah, but it's not, because it's not saying that this is, you know, this third, fourth, and fifth, and not the other ones. It doesn't say that. And Sridhar Swami only mentioned the fifth, not the third and fourth. Right. Anyway, Jiva Goswami's opinion is that all the topics are described in all the cantos. So he's not, you know, he's not giving a complete list. He's not, you know, just giving some examples. So Jiva Goswami gives some different examples. Okay. Okay. Okay, but we have to, like Arjuna, we have to follow Prabhupada and Jiva Goswami. Yeah, we reconcile them. We're not going to set one against the other.
Okay, we'll stop here for now.
Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Sri Tattva Sandarbha Ki Jaya.